The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and free rides. Think about it. The Star Wars movies, 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from AlexRobinson.fun.
And I am Tony Consiglio from StarWarsMinute.com/CocoTees. That ends with an S.
T-E-E-S. Thank you, Tony, for coming back and finishing the week with us.
Yeah, no problem. I haven't left. I've been in this room. You haven't really let me out.
No. Well, we'll see what we can do. You know, we'll put in a word, maybe some good behavior.
Speaking of Tony Ortiz, I want to call attention to the fact I'm wearing one of Tony's designs right now. If you're watching this
I want to
fake everybody. I'm not wearing that one. That would be different, but I'm wearing the Alex Robinson t-shirt right now.
Whoa. The picture of me on it.
That's awesome. Oh man, I feel terrible.
Yeah, Tony, you're supposed to be wearing one of my t-shirts, but I don't have any.
I got a t-shirt with Cookie Monster on it.
That's close enough. Well,
you like cookies.
I do.
Right.
They're my favorite dessert item.
Cookies?
Cookies. It's my favorite dessert category.
Let's set up the minute first. Then we can talk about what kind of cookies we want. We're talking about minute 70. Minute 70 of Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. While I tie my tie. We should have done this whole bit first, so then I could have said analyze, scrutinize, and tie my tie.
Oh, you want to start over?
No.
Okay.
Minute 70.
This movie's only, 73, 74 minutes? The movie's only, 74 minutes long anyway, right?
Mm-hmm. Something like that. Yeah, we got to be close to the end.
I think the credits start in the next minute.
Mm-hmm. But
that would be a cliffhanger if they just went right to the end.
Well, it is a cliffhanger.
Literally a cliffhanger.
Literally.
70 starts with the CBMP, the Counterbite Mounted Police, chasing Rose and Finn through the fields. Mm-hmm. And it ends with Rose and Finn getting abducted by aliens or something, it looks like. I don't know, maybe that's how it ends. It's kind of like Close Encounters or E.T. or something. They're mm-hmm. all like,
Yeah.
So, it's Alex, you mentioned with the father years running wild. The Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
And that you mentioned it with just the apes going nuts and wrecking stuff, but I like this part. It's in the dark as opposed to the light, but it kind of reminded me of in the original Planet of the Apes, where they're chasing them through those fields of
dreams.
Who knows what that is? Yeah, Field of Dreams. So I like it. I do. It's odd that it's dark, but it's got to be night. If it's, you know what they say, if it's Canto Bight, it's got to be night.
That's true. Yeah. I wonder if it would have been different if it was during the day. Like, what would have been the, I guess it's not as dramatic having searchlights going around and stuff.
Right.
Hmm.
I think it's strange that these goat hounds have no problem smashing through windows and walls, but then they stop at the end of, at the edge of a cliff, you know, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, maybe I should stop now. Like, why wouldn't they just keep going over the cliff?
Lemming style. That really would have been
Thelma and Louise.
Pause right when they're in the, that really would have been a sad ending to it if they all plunge to their death after.
Right.
And Rose is like, no, stop. But they'll just keep going.
She's like, now it's worth it.
Well, yeah. I mean, they would have landed in the water and swam. I'm sure they're good swimmers too. So
yeah.
They had those long.
I'm sure if they had jumped over the cliff, they would have landed on like a branch, and then they would have landed on a ship that was passing by, you know, on a cup, right, and a speeder. They would have like bounced from thing to thing until they got to the ground safely.
They also do that cinematic thing that I don't think works when they showed them reach the point where they looked like they were about to fall over the cliff. They showed the cliff, and then they did this thing where they zoomed down onto,
what's called,
the,
Pete?
You know, onto the,
that's called, this movie was released in 3D. That's
That's why, because it's 3D.
Yeah, I think that was totally an artifact of that it's just kind of like, oh, let's throw in more stuff of being like, whoa, like a lot of the father chase, I think, was totally just thrown in there for a 3D. It's like the Hall of Memories or whatever from Harry Potter, where it's just like, let's have a fun thing for 3D people.
Well, that's an interesting case, though, where that's like a thing of depth, as opposed to, it's not like something coming at you.
Right.
It's like something moving the ground you're seeing far away from you, I guess, to convey that sense of that sense.
It's like, whoa, like kind of like.
But what is that called when that jaw is like a rack focus? That thing they do like in Jaws where the background gets that.
Dolly in, zoom out. Rack focus is shifting kind of from one thing to another, but a dolly in, zoom out, or vice versa, whatever.
Yeah. That's kind of what it feels like.
Yeah.
Without the 3D effect.
Right.
And now I want to see the movie in 3D.
We'll have a 3D watch party.
Tony's got an Oculus too now, Sue. So set it up on the Oculus and invite us to come.
Yeah.
We'll have an Oculus watch party.
For $20, I can fly to Burbank and I can come find you.
There you go.
I can come find you. I'll come find you.
See, I picture you just kind of like you've been wearing the Oculus the whole time. So you're kind of like stumbling over, like wearing
Peter! I'm going to show up on a goat hound.
I love it.
So, yes, the chase ends here at the edge of the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have sworn it to me. It seemed almost like this was the part where the fanthiers were going to be like, thank you for helping us escape. Like they're like looking at them like they're about this. And I think that would have only improved it if they were revealed to be speaking animals at this point.
Mm.
You don't like that, Pete?
No. Well, why not?
That would have been awesome if they spoke.
What if it? She takes the saddle off the one and then he reverts into the prince that he was. And it's just,
oh,
thank you, like Rose Tico.
Then we have to get married.
Right. Well, overall, like, would I like that storyline better for Rose than her storyline, than her actual storyline from here on in? Yeah. Probably.
It's funny that Rise of Skywalker culminates in like a horse stampede on a spaceship outside. Mm. And like that would have been a nice time to bring back the fan theaters.
Yeah, why wasn't it fathiers? Well, we'll get there in 2 years.
Oh yeah,
we have 2 years to figure out why not fathiers.
Yeah. Why not fathiers?
Why not fathiers?
That's their election slogan. So then Rose, I guess, just lets them all go in the woods.
Yeah, or just kind of off into wherever. I'm sure it's just like cut to, this is the part where then the next thing, they just all fall off the cliff because like, you're free, and they're like, and just go all.
They were too dumb to live.
Cut to them a month later, and they're starving to death, sitting somewhere lost. They don't know where they are. Poor pigs.
It's very irresponsible to take a captive animal and just release it into the wild. A, because we don't know if these fathers even know how to find food, or B.
Yeah.
I guess, are they native? But hopefully they're native to this planet.
No.
They're not?
No. No. It's literally, what if you just, like, you know, set all the racehorses free at the aqueduct, you know? It's just like, they're going to run around and do what, you know?
Yeah. Most likely they're just going to be recaptured in a day. As soon as the sun comes up, they're not going to be that hard to track down, these giant horses running around in a nature, state park.
Imagine in these movies, they would have a chip in them where they can, find them again, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Have that chips in them.
Where they,
it's one night of freedom,
Yeah. It's like a Rumspringa, Fathier Rumspringa.
The bounty hunter, Fathier Rumspringa.
I do like the idea that she's like, now you're all free. And then all of a sudden you hear like, boom, they all just get like beamed up or sucked up in a tractor beam or something like that, like back into
I mean,
it would be better if there was a larger animal that ate them all. There's always a bigger fish.
Just comes through and eats up all the feathers.
It's always the OPC killer jumps out of the lake and just pulls it.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Can I cut back to another minute that we just, did the kids run off? Did they run away or did they stay at the stable?
No, they stayed at the stables.
We're not going to escape. Why didn't they jump on the Fabias and ride off?
They're not in the business of freeing slaves.
Yeah. What are those kids going to do? Eat grass?
That would have been great if the kids came with them and they're just like, go ahead, you're free. And they just let them go live in the woods. Can we come with you? Okay. No. You're free now. You don't have to listen to anybody anymore.
Not to beat a dead father, but I do like the idea of them, right? So we can incorporate both things that the father should like, you're free. And they run and they all run off the cliff and they're like, oh no. And they run up and they're like, oh, they can swim. They're good swimmers. But then the OPC killer comes up and eats them all.
Double fake out. Boom, boom.
Anyway, the cop, we got like movie cop dialogue because he's like, where'd they go? No cop. Like, imagine a cop like on, we're in the unfortunate position of having seen and heard a lot of cop, like body cams and radio, records and stuff like that. Imagine there's a cop, like people run away and the cop is just like, where'd they go?
Like, yeah.
It was dark out. It was, pretty dark out there. There's no lights out in the forest there, wherever they are.
Yeah.
That would have been another, they think they're free and then all of a sudden, the cops just hit a button and all the stadium lighting comes on in the forest because it's all an artificial forest.
They reveal they're in the backyard of Slow and Low. Right. Get out of my yard.
Like, yep, they're here again.
But don't those spaceships have infrared where they would see living things kind of crawling around anyway?
Again, it's the Candlebite Mounted Police. They're basically they're ornamental.
That's right. It's the Mounted Police. They don't.
Think at this point though, the real police would be involved. Like this is beyond the casino police. They must have more security than just these guys.
I don't know. That makes me maybe they don't have jurisdiction there. That makes me think that should have been like Dukes of Hazzard. They should have just ridden the Fathiers to the county line, and then as soon as they cross, then the CBMP are just like, no,
taking off their hats and throwing them on the ground.
Exactly.
And
their helmets, taking off their capes and tossing them.
That's right. I like that idea better.
And we also get, you know, Finn, it's been, you know, in movie terms, it's been literally, I think, is it 5 minutes? Where did they first land? No, before that, this place is great. It was minute 56. So now we're at 68. So 12 minutes.
Yeah.
What are we at? 70? 14 mm-hmm. minutes for Finn to go from like, this place is great, to him being like, yeah, I'm glad we smashed up that town. Yeah. Right. Cause he's so like, and again, that's part of his case. He doesn't really know how to be. And so like, he's looking for approval from Rose. He's with, you know, so it almost reminded me of being like in high school and like a girl you liked mentioned something. So you're totally like, yeah. Yeah, that's so dumb, and it's something that you liked yesterday, but now it's right. Just like, yeah, let's smash this place up.
Yeah, he just goes along with whoever is helping him at that given moment.
Right. It's like, yeah, so now that we smashed up the place, can you give me your jacket or something? I need to incorporate something from your personality into my character. I'm like the super adaptoid.
I was going to go Zelig, but it's super adaptoid. It's probably a better reference these days. So as promised, I have the juicy horse racing information. Juicy horse for people who can't afford grade A gum. There are currently 10 million horses in the United States.
Hmm.
Is that more or less than you would have thought?
That's more.
Are those horses that people own, or wild horses included in that?
I assume most of them are owned horses.
Yeah,
there probably are some still wild horses around, but probably it's a statistically negligible amount. I would have to assume. Probably most of them are owned by teenage girls. Have I ever owned a horse?
I was gonna say, have either of you ever owned a horse?
No, not technically. Okay. No.
I invested in a horse once, but no. But you know what?
Hey, did you say nay? Did you say nay?
We should have.
Nay.
1.5 million people are employed in the horse racing industry. So think about that.
Wow.
That's less than one person per horse, right?
Yes. Well, yeah. One point there are. Roughly 10 horses for every one person employed by the racing industry.
Wow.
That does seem like a Planet of the Apes scenario where like they're going to take over.
If they could just pool their efforts together and.
They're working on thumb.
But all those horses aren't in the racing industry though, are they?
No, probably a lot of them are probably like we were talking about just trail rides.
People own horses.
And like
yeah.
Farm, like draft horses and
yeah.
Or is that, you know, in sex shows.
Does that include zebras? No.
No. That's racist to even say that.
Well, I'm saying, how many zebras are there in America?
I don't have that information at my fingertips, unfortunately. But it
you're
is
doing a Star Wars podcast and you don't know how many zebras are in the United States at any given time?
Wrong show.
I would say in the thousands. It can't be millions. That
of zebras?
Like
I think
number.
Thousands
they,
is
like,
even high, right? I don't know, but there's like, yeah, there's usually maybe. Like one or two in a lot of zoos, right?
But there can't be more than
yeah.
200 zoos in the United States?
No, there are definitely more than that, right?
You think there's more than four per state?
Yes.
I mean, I've been to at least three in New York City.
It's true, but that's like comic book stores.
There's four
there's
in New York.
Disproportionate four amount of comic book stores in New York as well.
How many zoos are in the U.S.? Ready?
I'm
what did you say?
I said 200.
You said 200. Tony?
I'm going to go with 40.
40 zoos.
That's too low?
200 zoos.
No, wait. Okay, I'll go with 201.
Tony, you're the closest without going over. There are over 2,400 zoos in the U.S. alone.
Holy cow.
Does that include private menageries? Petting?
I don't know what that includes.
Or does that include the petting zoos too? Because that's not really a zoo.
Right. What about Brooklyn Zoo? That's just.
What about the new zoo?
Now, how many zebras? Let's find out.
in the United States? I'm going to say there are 200. No, it's more than that. If there's 2,400 zoos, I'm going to say there's 2,000 zebra.
Yeah. Owning a zebra is perfectly legal in most of the United States. Nancy Nunke, who 10 years ago founded the International Zebra Zorse Zonkey Association.
Wow. That's a lot of Z's.
Estimates that three, and this is 2014 numbers, estimates that 3,000 zebras roam, kick, and graze in American backyards.
Hmm. America's not just zoos.
In yards.
America's backyards?
Yeah.
3,000 privately owned zebra.
Right.
Wow. I wonder what those statistics compare to Africa. Are there more? Anyway, there's probably got to be more in Africa than that.
No, Africa has to have more because they're free. Right. They roam free there, don't they? Aren't they in the Serengeti or whatever?
Yeah, I wonder if, look at that. She runs training sessions for novice zebra owners at her California ranch where she practices equine acupuncture and Reiki on zebras with broken bones. Anyway, let's get a zebra.
Uh-huh.
Show will pay for it, right?
Sure. Thanks, David.
And we'll ride it to Tony's place.
I don't think
Perfect.
You can really ride.
Zebras
I don't think are good for riding. I think that's why they were never really domesticated, because they're tough to... They're not like, useful. The way a horse.
It's sort of like donkeys. Aren't they just striped donkeys?
No, they're more ornery.
They're not. It looks like you can't ride them in the way that like you could ride. You know, they're not useful. They're not utility animals. They're more just like fun to like casual ride around. It's like I think like Tony and I wouldn't be afraid to ride a zebra. Maybe we would. Maybe they're crazy. Who knows?
After Tony's story, I'd be afraid to get on the back of any animal.
Exactly. It's dangerous. They want to get in the middle of their animal husbands. No, that's a completely different thing.
Well,
not talking about that.
So we learned that the horse racing industry employs 1.5 million people. What percentage of Americans do you think listed horse racing as their favorite sport? What percentage of Americans? Football, number one most popular sport. Football is the one that people most said. So keeping in mind that football
I'm
is
going to
one,
go with
what percentage of Americans?
I'm going to go with 17 million.
No, percentage of Americans, not
17
not
million percent.
Oh, percentage. Yeah. Okay, that's
sure
going to be like
down,
I would say 4% of Americans.
4%, Pete?
I might go just like Han Solo trying to rescue Lando from the Sarlacc pit. I'm going to go a little bit higher. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say 12.
You both went over. The correct answer, 1%.
Oh, good.
Only it was, it was behind swimming and track and field. More
That's
people
good.
Said track and field was their number one sport than did horse racing. So experts put the decline in horse racing's popularity to three factors. Number one is people think it's cruel. You know, the more people are more sensitive about animals being mistreated.
Mm-hmm.
Gambling has become more widely legalized than it was in horse racing's pinnacle. You know, back in the day, if you were a degenerate gambler, the only place you could go to gamble was at a horse track. But now, of course, all states have casinos. It's become such a regular. We all live within, a few hours drive of a casino. Why would you want to learn the complicated things about horse racing? And also, this is one that surprised me. The land that they're on, the land horse tracks on, is just too valuable to keep for something that's a very niche thing nowadays. Because, you know, like Aqueduct Racetrack, you got prime real estate there in Queens or Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's a huge. Yeah, it's in Queens. Yeah, it's huge, too.
I think Aqueduct is gone, right?
Oh, really?
Is it really?
Because it was now it's like a I think there's like a casino and a Aqueduct is different. Oh, no, wait. Yes. Aqueduct is still there. So horse racing facility and casino. They added a casino to it. That's what made it.
I think a lot of them have started to do that to make up for the lost revenue of
Right. And also that related to this and related to my interests, the mm-hmm. New York Islanders are building their new arena on the site of the Belmont racetrack.
Oh, wow.
They're adding, they basically took one of the parking areas and are restructuring that and building an arena there to make it.
Yeah, they contrasted it with the fact that, like, anytime a football team wants a new arena, cities fall all over themselves trying to build it for them. And meanwhile, horse racing, they're like, you know, come on, let's put this land to better use.
Can we combine the two?
You know, it's funny. It's funny here.
Have horses here, going around the football during the football game?
During the football game. near me, there's actually an old dog track. And wow. Is that outlawed? I assume that's outlawed.
I know.
No, they still have dog racing?
I think it's legal. It's just fallen out of favor. Worse than...
Well, the funny thing is they did away with the dog racing. And what they do now is they actually use the track to train dogs and, to sit and, you know, they have classes now. So I'd never actually seen it as an actual dog track, but by seeing them like training dogs on it, where they like walk them on there and
they train them to run really fast around in a circle.
Yeah, the whole time they're training them, they can't concentrate because that rabbit is still on the outside going around.
Nonetheless, horse racing continues to be a financial powerhouse. $10 billion a year annually is spent on horse racing. So don't count them out just yet. Although I feel like as people age, that number is probably going to dwindle as horse racing fans age out.
But there is still a it's interesting. There's definitely like a two strata kind of thing with horse racing, that there's the more kind of working class or the degenerate gambler, the kind of lower kind of like bet everything on it kind of lost their house on it kind of stereotype on it. But then there's also the people who are there's the rich seats, there's the people who are just totally show up because they're into it because, they know somebody who's got a horse there, that kind of a thing, there's not a lot of middle ground casual, just kind of like, oh, let's take the family and go watch the horse races. There's like the people who are just like, I really need this one to pay off. And then there's the people who are just kind of like, oh, lovey, check out the horses.
Right. Yeah. They say most of the betting happens during the big, the Kentucky Derby or the Belmont State, the three,
Right.
It's like, those are the things when most of the action happens. And then most people don't, bet beyond that, big ones. So
I love the guys that have the newspaper folded up and they're like writing in.
Meanwhile, these days 60% of horse racing bets are done on mobile devices, so that's another thing that's going the way of the
that's true, that makes sense.
You remember that, like, some channels after they went off the air would just switch to racing results.
On
cable, yeah. Like it would be like whatever the last show on A&E was, and then from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. or something like that, it would just switch to really cheap kind of old computer graphics, just typed in, just kind of of what the racing results were.
Yeah.
Wow,
that's fantastic.
I've been handed an update.
Yes.
The update is I've found. This is going to be so not satisfying, just in the way it was not satisfying for me. I found the page where I found where I had found the info about Ubla Mulbro's pet. Uh-huh. I was like, oh, that's where it was. And it says, we have Ubla Mulbro's floating jacoon.
Jacoon.
And a jacoon is the name of that creature.
Why does everyone want to go back to jacoon?
Which apparently was named... in a video on the Star Wars Kids YouTube channel, they're talking about every creature in the Star Wars movies, and they went through some of them, and they're like, and that's a jacoon. And so I was like, oh, great. And I copy that, paste it into Wikipedia. What does Wikipedia say? Jacoon. Jacoon was a non-sentient species that existed in the galaxy.
No,
that's the entirety of the entry.
Can't you say that about everything?
Not even one was owned by Marlboro Light.
Just jacoon existed. And there's some good pictures of it. There's an alien also on the same page that I'm amazed that that this is a thing. We got to take a look and see if we see, it's just listed as The Last Jedi species number 25, but it's looks like something else entirely, let me tell you.
Quite a thing to see.
But we'll have to go back. We might have missed it already, but I'll do some it was in the Fathier chase scene. Speaking of Fathiers, and speaking of racehorses, I'm going to do the final Fathier report.
Can we guess a name again?
You can guess some, yeah. And I'll tell you some that I didn't pick for the last one.
Let's recap what we have so far. Minock Minute.
One was called Hoth Stuff. Hoth Stuff.
Something comfortable retort? Casual retort?
Casual retort.
I forgot yesterday's.
Solar Promenade.
And there are ones you rejected, so you're going to go with a good one, I assume.
Well, yes. From a certain point of view.
Let's go with For the Love of Beru.
Let's
see. I want to just call him Hammerhead. As a word, has Hammerhead ever actually been used in the Star Wars world?
No, I don't think so.
It was the Hammerhead Corvette.
Oh, the Hammerhead Corvette. Yes, it has.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
My favorite Prince parody.
One that I didn't use is just simply called Imperial, which I think is kind of, that's not late. That's, you know, there's also like stuff like Distant Star, which is, you know, it's like, it's like Shifting Sands. It's a little bit like, all right.
I don't like that one.
No, but the one that I picked, or Virtuous Velocity, there's a lot of, alliterative ones here, but the one that I picked not only did I pick it because I love the name, but then reading the story, it's relevant to at least my and Tony's horse experiences. I went for a father called Time for Flat Cakes.
Time for Flat Cakes?
Time for Flat Cakes was a deaf and blind male racing father out of Kriga who was kept at the Cantabite racetrack on the planet Cantonica. He was purchased by the Lucky Three on behalf of their friend Kaljak Sonmi. These are all people that we saw, so this obviously happened in the book. Shortly after his purchase, he participated in a race while heavily medicated by his previous owner and managed to win. However, he died immediately thereafter due to the strain.
Oh, man.
But totally like a deaf and blind father seems like the type of one that they would give us to ride.
Yeah. One that was all duped up.
Yeah, I would probably.
The one that died shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
That would have been great if that was the one that Finn and riding on. That's why they're smashing the wall.
Time for flapjacks. What is it? Time for flat cakes?
Time for flat cakes.
Time for flat cakes.
Flat cakes, of course, are the what Anakin and Padme eat when they're on the the freighter between Coruscant and Naboo.
Is that what it says?
That was my name in college. That was my name in college. Flat cakes.
Oh man, it's making me hungry.
Yeah, speaking of flat cakes, let's eat.
Well, you know, we were going to talk about our desserts. Talking about flat cakes, we're going to talk about our favorite desserts.
Oh yeah.
Oh right. What kind of cookies do you usually get? You said cookies are your favorite. What kind of cookies do you like?
My favorite category.
Your favorite category. So what's your favorite cookie?
I like a sandwich cookie. You know what I mean? Like,
So like take two cookies and put some ham and some cheese.
No, like I'm not Oreos particular. I like the golden Oreos. I like those kind of things. I like a sandwich cookie is my favorite type of cookie, but I go for chocolate chips. I go for, vanilla wafers, fudge wheels.
Those are good.
Nutter butters.
I'll take Vienna fingers. I'll take sugar.
I want to get fancy. Say one of my favorite cookies are chocolate chip cookies are my favorite. But Chessmen. They make now brown butter chocolate chip cookies. Oh, they're so good with sea salt on them.
Pete, which side are you on, Pete? This side? No, you're on this side of me.
No, you had it right the first time.
Okay, he doesn't like chocolate. Not a chocolate fan.
It's true.
You're not?
No.
So, Pete, what is your favorite category of dessert?
My favorite category of dessert.
Crazy. Yeah,
candy, cake, pies.
I do like pies, and I do
ice creams.
Confections. Do you like Snicker bars?
No.
No, you don't like chocolate. Candy. You don't like chocolate.
Candy.
Payday. Payday doesn't have chocolate.
That's candy.
I like a payday, right, but for dessert, I will say I do. I like pies, and I like a good cheesecake.
Cheesecake.
I don't know which I would
cheesecake
prefer.
Is delicious.
Cake is my second favorite category.
Hmm.
I'd say candy is probably my least favorite category.
Most cakes I'm not that into, because a lot of cakes are chocolate cake, and it's just like, you know, why is some.
What about
some
you, Tony? What's
good.
Your favorite? What's your favorite category of desserts?
I would definitely fall into chocolate chip cookies.
So cookies is your favorite category, and chocolate chip is your favorite.
It's ironic because I'm wearing a shirt that's straight out of cookie. Mm,
that's what started this whole conversation.
There you go.
That's true. It is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just love it. There was a time when I was younger, and it's probably why I am the size I am now. Entenmann's used to make this cookie. It was called Chewy Chocolate Chip Walnut Cookies, and they were dipped in fudge. And I used to eat them. I had a box at a time. I used to eat the whole box at a time. There was chocolate chip one. I would unhinge my jaw. And the whole box. But it was chewy chocolate chip walnut fudge dipped cookies.
Yeah.
It was dangerous. It was very dangerous.
At least they have walnuts. That's healthy.
There you go.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Fudge, you know, I guess it's got some caffeine in it. No, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. They were delicious.
So my ranking would go cookies, cake, ice cream, candy. That's it.
Hmm.
Those are the cat. That's how I rank them.
My problem is, I think I like ice cream still, but I can't eat it. I feel terrible after I eat it always now. So.
Oh. Are you a lactose?
Are you lactose?
I don't know. I know that I'm just not a fan of having eaten ice cream. I'm a fan of eating ice cream.
Have you tried vegan ice cream?
Yes, and I think that is better. So maybe it is. Maybe I am more lactose. I don't know. I hardly ever have milk things.
Could be.
So,
yeah.
I do enjoy donuts also. Donuts are really good. Yeah, go nuts for donuts. Is that what they say?
There's a lot of good donut places around Los Angeles area. I'm happy.
Oh, yes.
They can't really go. Well, you can go wrong, but it's there's a lot more kind of unique and interesting ones.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you
on that note,
cookies now.
I'm going to go. Maybe I'll go eat some cookies or some dinner or some donuts or some cake.
So if you don't mind, one fast story about cake. Whenever I go visit my parents, my mother, every single time I visit, she makes a traditional Italian cake. And I'm so sick of it. And it's like, it's made with ricotta cheese in the middle. And the cake is like soaked in rum. And it's good the first time. But then like every time we go to visit, she makes one of these cakes. And I'm just like, oh, you've got to come up with something else. I've gotten to the point where I'm like, don't make these anymore. I'm sick of it.
Mm-hmm. I pick it up, smash it on the ground.
Just throw it. And I tell her to make cookies, and she's just like, no. This is chocolate chip. They don't have chocolate chip cookies in Italy. And I'm like, oh, sorry. You have to make an Italian dessert.
Well, she's only been living here for like 50 years.
What does cannolis fall under?
That's a baked good.
Does that fall under pastry?
Yeah, pastry? I guess so.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Are donuts their own category or are they? Anyway, let's wrap this show up.
Yeah. This is more of a conversation that we would have on a weekend edition show.
Totally.
This is the type of thing you like us to talk about, why not go to StarWarsMinute.com/Patreon, sign up there, and then you'll get access to our Saturday and Sunday shows. And Sunday shows are usually this kind of thing where we're just, you know, yapping about donuts and snacks and cakes and casada and sometimes Star Wars, but you know, and then Saturday show we usually, right now we're reviewing the stories in Empire Strikes Back from a certain point of view book. So if you want more of us, go to StarWarsMinute.com/Patreon and check it out. And Tony, thanks for being with us all week.
Oh, no, thank you, guys. I was looking forward to this because really it's you guys don't pay the electric bill when I'm not on the show. So it gets dark in here.
Yeah.
But well, it's okay.
Just
I'm okay now.
We'll see how long we can let them keep it on for this time.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It seems like it's fading a little bit right now. So we'll see. Keep an eye out. Alex and I are going to show up on a zebra soon. Mm-hmm. So just keep looking out. And
if you would have put a window, it would have been nice if you guys gave me a window.
Oh, but you'll hear it. You'll hear the zebra.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to Tony's Place on a Zebra. Then we'll be back on Monday with a brand new Star Wars
Minoc Minute.
Star Wars Casual Minute. No, not casual. Comfortable. Was it casual?
Casual retort.
Casual retort.
Casual retort. What's a casual retort? Would that be like, whatever?
There you go. You took to it like a duck to water.
That's a duck.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.